down, throw bouquets at me. Down, please, my folks too much. Down, laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Down, sigh.
Good evening. I'm calling to order the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting of May 8, 2024. If we could all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Mendoza, can you please conduct the roll call?
Yes, Chair. Commissioner Hugh?
Here.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Present.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Present.
Commissioner Replical-Purinton?
Here.
Commissioner Williams?
Present.
Vice Chair Furia?
Here.
Chair Walton?
Present. All accounted for? Wonderful. Now is also the time for any member of the public to speak on an item not on the agenda. Mr. Mendoza, do we have a member of the public who would like to speak?
If we have any member of the public wishing to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. There are currently no hands raised, Chair.
All right, thank you. Ms. Plummer, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Chair Walton, we have no amendments or adjustments to this evening's agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mendoza, please read the consent calendar into the record.
Yes, Chair. So we have item A1, the approval of the March 13th, 2024 Parks and Recreation Committee meeting minutes. Item A2, the Parks and Recreation Manager Project and Program Updates. Item A3, the Parks and Open Space Division Report. And item A4, the Director's Report.
Thank you. Mr. Mendoza, do we have any members of the public that would like to speak to any of the items on the consent calendar?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on any of the items on the consent calendar, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. And there are currently no hands raised, Chair.
All right, thank you. Item A1 will have to be pulled from the consent calendar to vote on separately due to an absence in our last meeting. Would any member like to make a motion on the rest of the consent calendar? Commissioner Jenkins?
I move to accept the consent calendar with the exception of A1 as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Mendoza, would you like to conduct a roll call?
Yes, Chair, and I would like to remind the commission to please lock in their vote on their little screen. Commissioners Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replical-Purinton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Vice Chair Furia?
Yes.
Chair Walton?
Yes.
And just waiting for a few locks on their screens. Chair, did you lock your vote?
Yep.
Commissioner Williams, did you?
Okay.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much. And would any commissioner like to make a motion on item A1? And that's for approval of the March 13, 2024 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes.
I so move.
Vice Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mendoza, can you conduct a roll call vote?
Absolutely, Chair. And once again, remind everyone to lock in their votes. Commissioners Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Abstain.
Vice Chair Furia?
Yes.
And Chair Walton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We're excited to move on to our presentations now. Ms. Plummer, can you lead us into the next item?
Yes, thank you, Chair Walton. Good evening, members of the Commission. Tonight, I'm excited to provide for you an overview on pickleball in Goleta. And I wanted to share that, as you may have heard, in the last decade, the pickleball phenomenon has continued to grow, not only in Goleta, but across our country. And we've had many projects and comments that have been brought before the commission over the last 10 years or so. And so we wanted to be able to provide this item tonight to the commission as an informational item, as well as an opportunity to inform the commission and the members of the public at home as to what's happening in our community here in the city of Goleta with pickleball, and hopefully be able to answer some of the questions that have been asked over the past couple years as pickleball's really kind of gained some energy here in Goleta and continues to grow. And then I'll be available if you have any questions at the end of the presentation. And there is no decision point on this. This is information only item, and we'll get started. I forgot to hit the share button. Okay. So we have our overview for pickleball. Oh, I'm clicking on the wrong screen. There we go. So we're going to go through the history of the facilities here in Goleta. And tonight we're just talking about the facilities that are within the city of Goleta that are public facilities that are managed by the city of Goleta for maintenance purposes. We're not talking about any private facilities or anything in the county. We'll talk about the current program opportunities at each location and then upcoming projects. So a little bit of background on the facilities. In 2016, the Parks and Recreation Commission requested staff to explore pickleball in Goleta. There was a report presented at the end of 2016, and early in 2017, a suggestion of a six-month pilot program began at Evergreen Park. In late 2017, the success of the pilot program was so great, with everybody having a great time and things working out well, that we installed permanent lines on one of the courts at Evergreen Park. The other court is strictly tennis, but we installed at one court in Evergreen. We have one set of pickleball court lines on either side of the net. We have portable nets available for people to use, or they can bring their own net. During COVID, we did see a rise in a lot of people bringing their own portable pickleball nets. And then again in 2019, we actually installed a permanent pickleball court at Johnny Wallace Neighborhood Park. So we have one permanent court there as well. A little bit more information. In 2021, as you're well aware, because you were very much a part of this process, the Goleta Valley Community Center organization requested permission to convert one existing tennis court to four permanent pickleball courts, adding permanent striping to the basketball court for temporary pickleball use. And in May of 22, the courts opened to the public, and there's four permanent ones and one shared temporary court at the community center. I also failed to mention that at Johnny Wallace Park on the basketball court, we are lined currently for a tennis court. Both courts were designed to be multi-use at the construction, and so currently there is a tennis court on that one basketball court at that park. Okay, so at Evergreen Park, there's been a lot of talk about Evergreen Park, so I just wanted to make sure that the commission was well-versed in what happened there. In 2016, as mentioned, Parks and Recreation Commission members had requested a report on pickleball, hearing about its joy and excitement across the country. In 2017, staff had proposed, and with the support of the commission, implemented a pilot program that we started. And the pilot program used lines that were temporarily taped to the surface on either side of both courts, on one using one net as the interim net, a tennis net, which is actually higher than a pickleball net. But it was, again, a pilot program. Let's see how people like it. And they loved it. So we pulled the tape up before we had some permanent fade lines on our courts. And with so much excitement and joy, we came back to the commission, and people wanted to us to move forward with painting the permanent lines. At the time of the pilot program, as mentioned, they used the existing tennis nets. And when we moved forward for the two portable courts on one of the two existing courts, and then we didn't hear anybody really concerned. And I went back and checked records and emails and voicemails. And to my best recollection, in December of 2020, I received the first complaint related to noise related to pickleball in that neighborhood. To date, complaints related to the noise at this particular court location have been raised only by one resident, at least brought up to me, as well as to code enforcement. And so I just wanted to share that information. We have experienced a significant amount of vandalism at Evergreen Park related to the pickleball courts. We have a box that is inside the courts, and it's bolted to the ground, and it's locked, and that's where we keep the nets. So we've had the box broken into, the nets stolen. The first time they were cut up and strewn throughout the park. The second time they were just stolen. We changed the box with the help of Public Works in our Parks Maintenance Division. They bolted that to the ground. New nets were donated by the pickleball community. So the first set of nets were donated by a senior citizen in our community who bought the two nets out of her own pocket for us to start the pilot program. When those were stolen, the city replaced the nets the first time. They were stolen again, and the pickleball community donated the second or the third set of nets. The players reported showing up one weekend, and there was sand all over one of the courts, and it was only the one court that had the pickleball lines. Response, but Public Works was called out on that Monday morning to clean that up. Then another time, we had players report a slippery substance poured all over the tennis court with the pickleball lines. The other court was fine. There was a response by Big Green, as when staff went out to go clean it up, it was determined to be a potential biohazard. And then players also have reported a foul smell from time to time behind the porta potty. And at one point, our public works staff identified the smell coming from a pile of dead fish placed behind the porta potty unit. And then we had a player reported a foul smell at the courts, and we were having trouble identifying where that foul smell was coming from. But when the sun would come down, you could actually see that something was all over the screen material, the windscreen material, and it appears that it was something similar to deer urine sprayed on the windscreen. So eventually that smell dissipated and went away, but as you can imagine, it hasn't been very pleasant for the players in that area and the neighbors that live near that those courts. So we have some considerations for Evergreen Park. We have some new sound mitigation material that we're looking at for the fencing. We've shared with the commission before that we've only come across two different products that are generally used. Both of the products are very heavy and usually would require some type of reinforcement to the fencing material because it would be too heavy for the fence. So we would have to invest in our fencing material even before we put the product on. But both of those products also do not allow for a nice player experience. It gets very hot. There's no wind flow. You would lose the wind flow. And in some cases, the sound just bounces up and then just kind of comes out the court as a whole versus dissipating and being muffled before it leaves. So we are working with a vendor. I have a sample product here, right? A little piece of it. It is brand new. We don't have a lot of factual data on it. So we are doing our due diligence and taking a look at this. We're in evaluation and consultation with the vendor right now. And it is being currently marketed as a product that would help dissipate the noise. It will not reduce the noise. So I want to be clear that currently on the market, there is no product that eliminates the noise coming from a tennis court or a pickleball court. This could help dissipate the noise. So we've had a few different virtual meetings with the vendor. I did meet the vendor when we went to the conference back in March and talked with him in depth. So we are hoping that this could be a product that we could invest in. It is quite pricey the last time we looked, so we're looking to see if there's a way we could streamline where we put it, maybe only on one of the panels versus all four sides of the court. So this is the product we're looking at currently, and we're also keeping our ears to the ground to try to see if we could find a different product to evaluate. We have the installation of self-locking gates at Armitos Park. We are installing self-locking gates to help people not wander around that park at night and not have to have staff go out to lock and unlock. We have the same problem with some of our tennis courts just in general around town, so we'll be looking at those locks, see how they function, and possibly putting those in. We don't typically lock a lot of our courts at night, but we have recently found that some people are using our courts at night in ways they're not intended to be used, so it might be something that we'll be investing in other locations, but specifically at Evergreen, because we do have a complaint that has come in by the same individual that says that sometimes people are playing before the park hours at 8 a.m. and sometimes they're playing after hours as well, especially in the summertime when it's lighter longer. There's also rental opportunities. As you recall, we've gone through this vigorous process of being able to rent spaces within our parks. This will now allow people to be able to teach lessons out at the courts, whether it's a tennis lesson or a pickleball lesson or soccer lesson in the field. They can actually teach and they can pay to reserve the space and then they can conduct business. So this is an exciting opportunity, as we've had quite a few people that are out there trying to teach. And technically, they were acting in a way that was against our municipal code, so this allows them to fall into compliance. We are working closely with the Public Works Department. Our old signs were just not compatible with what was happening at the courts currently, and so we did take that sign down, and we're looking at changing the language to be current, to reflect current municipal codes. Related to noise, vandalism, anything else, proper use, all of our park rules. So we are currently updating those signs, and those will be reinstalled. And then we've also are looking at the potential for installation of cameras at this location. We've been in consultation with our local law enforcement as well as our information technology division to talk about how we can get cameras out there, what type of cameras would be best out there. And again, that's to hopefully deter future vandalism, because we're wasting city resources with all the cleanups and the repairs. So Johnny D. Wallace Court, at the neighborhood park, we, in 2019, built one pickleball court, and it's shared with a bank shot court, as I mentioned earlier. The grant that helped fund that park, one of the areas of the grant had indicated that each court that we had at the park would have a multi-use. So the pickleball court's not a really big space, and so trying to put a secondary use on that was a little bit of a challenge, and we found the bank shot court system, and it's unique to Goleta, and we love it. So that works well for the pickleball court, and they're very compatible uses. The kids stay out of the way of the pickleball, and we have not had, in the 5 years the park's been open, any issues with that. The basketball court also has that dual purpose with junior tennis and basketball. And the only complaint we get at Johnny Wallace Park, we do get a concern that the way the sun rises and sets gets in their eyes a little too easily. So the location of how it is laid out in the park is not as attractive for some users. But the only other complaint we receive is that they have to chase the ball when they miss it. So I have suggested that maybe they take some lessons and get better, but that doesn't work out very well. So some of the actions that we're doing as part of the current Johnny D. Wallace construction project is we're adding new fencing to the east and west ends of the court. On the north side of the court, we have a seat wall, and so the ball typically stops. On the south side of the court, we have the bank shots courts there, but we also now have a building that will house the splash pad mechanical structures. And then behind the building will be a short fence too. So we'll have a fence that should stop those balls too. So it won't be totally enclosed, but it will keep them from having to chase too far. The other thing we are doing is the current basketball court is our staging area for this construction project. So we will be resurfacing the basketball court as part of this project. And instead of lining it for portable tennis, we will be lining it for portable pickleball. So we will have a different layout going north and south instead of east and west. And so that might help some concerns, but we also notice that people are going out there anyway with their portable net. So we're gonna go ahead and help them with that. The community center court. So in 2021, we came to the commission, we went to council, we had your support after lengthy conversations to make that modification. In May of 2022, they opened to the public. It was a beautiful day. We had our then Parks and Recreation Commission chair was in attendance that day as well. And that was when the Goleta Valley Community Center organization managed the courts. In January of last year, wow, it's already been a year and a half almost, the city of Goleta assumed management of the Goleta Community Center. And as part of that management, the Goleta Valley Community Center organization, otherwise known as GVCC, they maintain the programming for the pickleball courts. So Kelsey and his team are responsible for opening and closing, making sure they're clean, and handling any major issues. But we rely on the Goleta Valley Community Center organization to do the reservation program and anything else that comes up. In fall of 2023, we had some residents express concerns related to the scheduling of hours. You'll remember that a few people came to the commission. We also had a few people show up at council. And at that point in 2024, at the end of 2023, early 2024, the Goleta Valley Community Center organization, along with their pickleball advisory committee, released a survey asking a lot of questions, saying, okay, we've been operating for a while. What do we have to fix? What do you like? What you don't like? They took those results. They evaluated the results. And in spring, they have recently launched their new hours for reserved play, for open play, and rental time. So it's very consistent now. We'll show you that in just a minute. And then we have the support of the Goleta Valley Community Center organization, Pickleball Committee, to do their ongoing evaluation of the program as well, with Kelsey and his staff on site, and then myself here listening to the public. We'll have ongoing evaluation, and then we'll be working closely with that organization if we have any further expressed concerns or issues. So here's the revisions to the schedule. Before, there was just some variations of we're open this time, we're closed this time. On Mondays, you can only reserve it. You can't have open play. So they went to something extremely consistent, very easy to market. As you can see, Monday through Friday, 8 to noon, Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 8:30, that's the time you can reserve it. We have the reserved time for people to rent the court. So if in that orange box, if you're wanting just to reserve to play, that's what you would do. If you're in that orange box and you want to reserve it so you can have your pickleball coach come teach a class, that's not a time that you can do that. The time you can do that is in that lime green box. That's Monday through Friday between 12 and 4. And then open play, which is open to anybody that comes in, is Monday through Friday from 4 to 8:30 p.m. and Saturday and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we will try this, and if we have any negative feedback, we'll go back to the drawing board and see how it goes. Again, all these calls and concerns are going to the Goleta Valley Community Center organization. They do meet I believe they meet every other month, their pickleball advisory committee, and they've been very receptive and responsive when we've talked with them. There's a few other things we're still working out with them, but they've been great to work with. So some pickleball-related capital improvement projects. So right now, we have the fencing upgrades and permanent lines at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. That's all in construction, happening as we speak. The pickleball entry area at the Goleta Community Center is currently in design. We are hoping to be further along in this process, but the delay of the other construction projects we have going on has kind of held that one hostage. So we'll be putting that to the finish line this year. And then that is to make the whole front area ADA accessible, provide some shade and some seating as well, for while people are waiting to play or just coming to watch. And then for pickleball consideration for permanent courts at three different park locations in Goleta. This project has not been started because this will take a significant effort of public outreach. We'll be going to each of those three different park locations and going into those neighborhoods and talking to the residents to say, hey, pickleball keeps growing. We have a lot of people traveling to get to pickleball. Would you like to have it in your neighborhood? And then if we'll do each neighborhood separately. So we have one project for all three neighborhoods, but we'll be treating each neighborhood independently so that because just because they're neighborhoods with a tennis court doesn't mean they all want the same thing, right? So we'll be reaching, doing that outreach, and frankly, just due to capacity, that project has not started. And then some of the other improvements is not just turning them into pickleball courts. It's also looking at that fabric to see if we can help with that noise mitigation, as well as looking at the lockable courts to see, you know, baby steps little by little for improvements in those areas. We have some great tennis players that are out there almost on a daily at some of the courts. And so we're not trying to take tennis away from anybody, but if one court is being used and the other is not, perhaps we can maximize that opportunity for other residents. So with that, that's all I have this evening. There's a lot happening in Goleta for pickleball. I will share that the courts that are located on Kellogg, if you're talking to a pickleball player, you hear them refer to them as the Kellogg courts. Those are managed by county parks. Those are not city courts. They're just right outside of the city limits. So with that, I'm available if you have any questions.
Commissioner, go ahead.
Thank you so much for that very informative and interesting presentation. I have a couple questions based on comments that I've received over the many months. Would you please go back to your slide showing the three types of... Reserve time, rental time, open play. So I've heard both sides, right? We should have more reserve time. We should have more open time. But I have a question about reserve time and the reserve time rental time. If the courts are not entirely reserved during the reserve time or the reserve time rental time, is there a way for the community to find out if courts are not fully reserved? And B, if they are not fully reserved, can people just, you know, show up and play in one of the courts?
Commissioner Williams, that's a great question. So the first thing is it's important that everybody is aware that you do not have to be paying the membership fee. Anybody can reserve a court at any time. The more popular times fill up very, very quickly. But if you see a court open, you want to make sure it's yours. You can hop on your phone or mobile device and book it right there so you know you're in it. It doesn't cost you anything to book it. And there is a website. If you go to the Goleta Valley Community Center Organization website, it's just turned into a pickleball website. We are working on our website right now for the community center, and we'll be working on adding a link from our website to their pickleball reservation website. But so you can reserve it at any time. So you can pull up, you see a court's empty, you can look, and it's very clear on their platform that you can tell what courts are full, who's reserved it, or if it's not reserved. If you didn't want to mess with that and you just wanted to come out, then it's open, you can play. So anybody can play if it's not reserved. The times for the reserve time, rental time between 12 and 4, those are not as heavily used. So it could be a great time for people to just drop in and play. Those are usually open a lot of the time, the Monday through Friday time frame. It's very active in the evenings, and it's very active in the mornings is typically what we see. And then the weekends kind of fluctuates.
Very good. And is there signage there that lets people know you show up and a court seems empty? Here is the website that you can reserve and or go ahead and play until someone with a reservation preempts you? Is there any kind of signage that explains that?
Thank you for that question, Commissioner Williams. There was initially, when we opened the courts, there was some great signage, lots of banners, lots of other information out there. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what's there right now. I know that we do have some signs up there. Some things are just posted. I know that there's still a banner up there, but I know that as part of our entry, we are looking at putting a larger sign where the back of the sign can be used for information that could change out, or being able to put up-to-date information of court schedules or a court closure because we have a problem or we're going to do construction or something. So we are looking at creating a better mechanism for signage so that we don't have signs plastered everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I do know we do have some signs up there. Exactly what each sign says, I cannot tell you at this moment. But we do try to make sure that the basic information is out there, and then again, it is on their website. Okay. But we can check on that and follow up and make sure at least the basic information. Yes. But because they're outdoor courts and we don't, paper that goes up doesn't last that long, especially in the weather we've had this winter. But that is one of the things we are looking at with that renovation of the front, is to make sure we can have something that is on the back side, which would face the players and not necessarily face the public, so it doesn't look like we have all these signs everywhere.
Right. And I do think clarification on that, because again, mm-hmm. We want the courts to be maximally used. And so if people know, you know, they could show up or check beforehand to see if either they can reserve or just show up and take their look, that would be great. All right. You mentioned that there are three park locations in Goleta, which you are looking at, and we'll talk to the community about the possibility of a permanent pickleball installation. Can you share now what those three parks are?
Yes, I can share. I did not put it in the presentation because the last time we talked about it, I got lots of calls of people really worried, thinking I was changing their courts tomorrow. So, but the ones that we'll be looking at in the future for consideration, and everybody will be well aware that we're looking at it, are making the Evergreen Court permanent, the Stowe Open Space Tennis Courts, consideration for one of those to be permanent, mm-hmm. and then potentially at Berkeley Park.
Okay, thank you. Those are all my questions, Chair.
Any other commissioners?
Thank you.
Commissioner Jenkins, go ahead.
My question related to one that was already asked, but the Evergreen Court started in 2017, 7 years later, 2024. It's heavily used by comparison to tennis. Is there anything in the works to make that permanent? Pickleball courts, two pickleball courts, and one tennis court.
Commissioner Jenkins, that pickleball project that we were speaking of, the future mm-hmm. the one on the bottom here, that one of those spaces is for Evergreen to consider it as a permanent court. But again, we have not yet started that project, and that would be going into that neighborhood and really making sure that we talk to everybody in that neighborhood to see if there is an interest to make it permanent. Two courts on, I think actually we might be able to fit three courts actually on that one tennis court. So not on that one, not on Evergreen. That's what our consultant told us. So Commissioner yeah. Philibosian was saying we could possibly fit four on there, but our consultant had looked at each of the three different courts that we were looking at, and making sure you had enough space so that people could play. And the tennis court at the community center has four nice size courts, but that was a huge tennis court. These aren't as big. And the reason that we piloted the program at Evergreen at the time was because the commission had just been part of a resurfacing project at Evergreen Park, because the courts had been recently resurfaced since the commission had started. So the commission was a vital player in that. And so the Evergreen courts were on their mind, and that's why we started to pilot at that location. Does that answer your question? So yes, there is consideration. It's not happening right now. And we would have to do a lot of public outreach before we made that decision to move forward. But we are partially funded to make that happen right now. But we're not starting it right now.
Okay.
It is in our capital improvement project list.
And the GVC, could you go back to that slide of the reservable times? Is there any way to post this information so newcomers to the area know that they can get access through our scheduling site? Because if the courts are open and someone comes a little late, there might be some conflict. So that's my question.
Yes. So we're working closely with the Goleta Valley Community Center organization and their Pickleball Advisory Committee to get the word out about the changes in the times. And we'll work with them as well as with Kelsey, who manages the day-to-day operations of the facility, to make sure that we can get the new times up in some kind of sign format. I do know that the GVCC organization with their Pickleball Advisory Committee are working on doing emails to people that are on their email list, as well as putting it on the Facebook page and trying to get it out in social media to help spread the word, and they'll be releasing this information. And we'll work to get some signage up so that people know what the times are.
And this reserve time, rental time, do you pay ahead of time or is that by credit card? How's that actually done?
That would also be done through the Goleta Valley Community Center organization, and they would make arrangements to have that taken care of. And so it could be somebody coming to meet you to collect your fee. I don't believe that you're set up yet for a credit card, are you?
Not yet.
This is a member from the GVCC Pickleball Advisory Committee, Mr. Dave Wilcox. And so they're working towards that. So right now it'd be by arrangement. They would make arrangements to get that payment.
Okay.
And then part of that payment will come back to the city. They will be issuing us payment on what they collect.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Ferreira.
Thanks. I have a couple of questions about the Goleta Valley Community Center scheduling as well. So I'm curious about how far in advance people can schedule, how many slots they can schedule, just thinking back on the concerns about reserving space versus not. I was wondering, like, can someone just like reserve a huge block or the same space over time? How is that process going to work?
Thank you, Vice Chair Furia. I'm actually going to ask Mr. Wilcox if he'd come up to the microphone and share that process with you.
Sure. Excellent timing.
Yes, very good timing. So there's, I would say, a short-term answer to that and a long-term answer. The short-term answer is we have a system called Sign Up Genius now, and that is not as robust as what we would like to have. We have a new system that's called Court Reserve. And if you think of the Disneyland Fast Pass, that's probably the best analogy that I can have. And that will allow you to have two reservations at any given time over a month period. And that's going to address a lot of our concerns that, hey, we've had literally Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and all these people were reserving times and they were fake names. But then mysteriously one person was getting 10 reservations. And like, wow, that's not what we want the purpose of this to be. So now you have to have a reservation. You have to be, we can now track it to an email to, are they a member or not? And now it'll be much more robust and solve a lot of the issues that we've had. So.
Okay. That's it for there. Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner.
Sure. So in theory, if I reserved it for this week, I can only do that once. So my reservation, let's say, is for Monday. I couldn't do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Correct. However, let's say you and Tim were playing together.
Yes.
Tim could reserve the next day, and if, you know, each, let's say the four of you wanted to play together, Tim could reserve one day, you could reserve the next day, you could reserve the next day, you could reserve the next day, and you could get your other three buddies to come and join you. But they could only do that during reserve time. Mm-hmm. But each of you would also need to be a member.
Be a member meaning what?
So we have the membership, and then so we have two different things. We have the open play, which anybody can be a part of open play, and that's free to everybody. And then the membership is, I think it's $60 for the year to have a membership. And that gives you the ability to reserve a court.
Mr. Wilcox, we'll need to come back to that discussion, okay, because our understanding is that, and what was communicated to the commission and the council, is that you did not have to be a member to reserve. But it was encouraged to be a member to get all the information and to do other things.
So we can come back.
So we'll come back to that.
Yep.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Well, hearing some of that presentation, sounds like we got a good plot to a movie starting. You know, all the intrigue. I don't know if it's a comedy or drama or, I mean, deer urine, that's pretty crazy. But thank you to Kelsey. I know you and your team do a good job. They've been out there at the courts and they're clean, and your staff do a good job locking them up and taking care of them. And definitely, I want to say we definitely need more courts in the community. That's first and foremost. And I'm glad we're looking at those three courts or three locations to expand, and it's on the docket to move forward. So I encourage us to kind of make that happen. There's a big push, and we're having a lot of people show up, and our courts are getting overwhelmed. You know, I know UCSB is looking into it too, so that'll be good to get some of those UCSB students back on their campus. I know we're making some changes here to the community center, and I'm out there a lot and talk to a bunch of people, and so I'm glad we're making some changes. But I know that the two big requests I heard was they did want some open play during the week in the morning for people who have some free time, you know, people who can. They play at Kellogg right now, and one of the concerns is there's no restroom at Kellogg, and there is a restroom at the Goleta Community Center, and there's five courts as opposed to four. I've been told a bunch that they're hoping for, you know, open hours midweek. And then the other thing is keeping at least one night reserve play at night at the community center, because it is nice to have a court booked and show up and play and not have to sit and wait, especially if you're making plans to show up. So I know those will be reevaluated in the future, but those are the two concerns that I hear a bunch when I'm out there, and I am at those courts a lot. And so I talk to a lot of people in the community and the courts. Yep. So I don't know if that was considered morning open play during the week, but that comes up a lot.
Yeah, and I think part of our thought process was there's Johnny Wallace, which is across the street, where it's frequently not being used. That's one part. And then with Kellogg being there, there is a value of open play. Like, you need, in order for open play to be effective, you need to have numbers. So there was between 12 and 3 o'clock, it's not really like, yeah, we have open play between 12 and 3 o'clock. Well, no one's there, so it doesn't really work. So there's some benefit of pushing people to Muni, pushing people to Kellogg, so that there's enough substantial numbers for open play to work. And so that was the kind of the mixture of having reserved play in the morning. And then the problem at night, there isn't enough. We're the only place that have lights. And so that's where we need the extra. If we switch to reserved play at night, well, now we're only serving 20 people when we could be servicing 50 people. So that's where we said, hey, we really value having the lights, and there isn't a Muni and there isn't Kellogg at nights. Obviously, during the summer, we can play till 8, but during the other 6 months, we really need the ability to lights, and we're blessed with lights at GVCC. So that was the thought process. We do have open play on Saturday and Sunday morning, and also the thought process of why we chose Saturday and Sunday morning was not only, I mean, Muni's packed, but so is Kellogg, so they're all burdened, and now there's too many people, And so we need to open up those mornings to be able to allow for more people to play. So that was the thought process.
Sorry, I had one more comment, I think, to you. And I only know this, my friend is in the North California, and they're resurfacing their courts, but their lights are staying on until 10. Is it possible that we can get the Goleta courts lights stay on later? Is that something that can be looked into?
Thank you for your comments, Commissioner Filibosian. When we went to the commission and we went to council with this item, there was a strong commitment to ending play by 8:30. As mentioned earlier, there is a sound associated with this sport, and we are right next to apartments. We're also right next to a hotel, and across the creek we have more housing. So to be good neighbors, we were sticking with that 8:30 time frame, and Kelsey has the lights going off like 10 minutes right after that 8:30 mark, so get to your cars fast, because we want to make sure that we're sticking to that to be good neighbors. If in the future the demand continues to increase, and if we're able to find a mitigation measure, but it's not just the sound, that's one part of it. It's also those lights next to that hotel, so and across to the Michelle apartment. So we want to be respectful of our neighbors. And so at this time, I would say that there is not consideration. But again, just like the hours, everything is up for ongoing evaluation. And currently in our other parks, we would not be considering lights in those locations. We do not have lights in our city parks. And then regarding the bathroom issue at Kellogg, we do have bathrooms at Johnny Wallace Park. So we have a permanent court, and then we'll also have a temporary court there.
And I would just add to the comments made earlier, I think last year when I was helping to close up the gates, I noticed that people do hang out after. So it's not like 8:30, everyone's gone in their cars and leaves, right? There's, if you're having a good conversation with your friend, you know, Richard, you might stay a couple more minutes. You guys are exchanging pleasantries, maybe some techniques with the pickleball or whatever. You do just have people kind of hanging out more and more. So whenever you think about a closing time, you also have to factor in that not everybody leaves. Not everybody is quiet when they leave. I have a really loud voice when I speak. I've been told through the wall. And so those things are the other parts of it to Ms. Plummer's point, right, is that if you look around you, the proximity of the other residences and units is pretty close. Whereas if you're at other locations, maybe in Santa Barbara, you might be back set quite a couple hundred yards or more. It makes a pretty big difference.
Right, and Commissioner Freya, did you have a comment?
I do, thank you. First, I just wanted to say thank you for the thoughtful way this is put together and the willingness to sort of iterate on it. I really appreciated your comments just now about the thought process about when it's open and when it's closed and the responsiveness to the community. So thank you all for that, that's excellent. Similar to Commissioner Filibosian, I was rapt when I was reading the presentation at home this week, and then again now, not laughing matter. The vandalism is super serious, and so I appreciate that you're taking that seriously. And so, but I did have a question about the cameras, because I know that there's a lot of sort of controversy about having cameras in public spaces. So I was wondering if you're going to be talking to the community around the area, or if the cameras are going to be sort of focus to make sure they're not getting neighbors as well as the space itself.
Thank you, Vice Chair Furia. So cameras are a tricky kind of conversation. We would not be having, we'd not be assigning Lionel to sit here and watch cameras all day long, so they're not going to be a monitored camera. But whatever camera we put up would have that recording ability so that if we did have an issue, we'd be able to go back to it. We are working with our legal department and our law enforcement on policies related to cameras. We currently have them at the community center. When you come to a public space, you do not have a right for privacy. But again, we're not monitoring the cameras, just having them available. And we've used them many times at the community center to go back and look at things. We've used them in other areas to check on things. And again, we're not spying on anybody. We're just trying to make sure that, we had someone's car window get broken. Let's take a look and see who was in there in that area, what happened. So, and then we turn that information over to law enforcement.
I would just quickly add that in addition to that, we have, if you ever visit any of the schools, right, the public schools, those all have security cameras, right? And they're called security cameras for a reason. They're not being monitored actively. They're more so in the event that something were to occur. Like, we've actually used that footage when there was unfortunately a dog biting accident. The school district said, yeah, we know we have the camera. We can see it clearly here. And then, so that's another kind of thing that we're hoping people can understand. There's a nuanced difference there. Very similar to if you've ever been to the happiest place on earth, there's probably 20,000 cameras there, right? And nobody expects it to be, you know, like a super invasion of privacy. What I would add also is if the city does make the effort to get cameras, one thing that our law enforcement has told us was get good cameras. Because there's nothing like trying to go look at a camera and look for identifiable marks or anything like that when it's all fuzzy and it looks like a ghost is hovering, you know, and it just doesn't do anything, and it doesn't help in an investigation if you can't see, oh, the color or maybe the make of the car, maybe even a license plate. Those are some of the things that if we're going to go forward with them, we have to balance that. We don't want to turn to the CIA, but we also don't want it to be, you know, something that's, you know, too amateur, that doesn't provide any value. Kind of like the Ring cameras, they're pretty good, right? And so you can see what someone looks like, but are you sitting there watching it all day? Probably not, right?
Yeah, just to follow up, I'm not against security cameras. I was mostly thinking about the response from the neighborhood in terms of the locality of them. Since it is in a neighborhood, I agree, in a public space. I was just wondering in terms of the range, like making sure that the range is broad enough to see the concerns, but narrow enough that it's not actually into the neighbor's space, essentially.
Vice Chair Furia, that's something we've looked at actually very lately as we're looking at the community center cameras and other cameras, is what is our throw and what can be helpful. And you're right, you can pinpoint it directly in one location. You can spread it out a little bit to maybe catch the curb for a car that might be parked along the curb. But we do not have any intention on checking to see what you're doing in your garage across the street.
Thank you. Commissioner Williams, did you have something to add?
Just two categories. One, still on the camera. One thing that occurred to me when it was being described, but since we're going deep into the camera, is to make it visible. Normally you need light. And I'm sure most of the vandalism is occurring at night. And so you could have motion-activated lights, which would help identify an individual as opposed to a dark image in a moonless night. But then that would be lights on and off in the area. So I assume you'll be factoring in the night illumination issue as you talk about this, because that could be quite distracting to the neighbors to have something motion-activated to get the light necessary for any ID.
Correct. And so we'd be working with our law enforcement partners to make sure that they deal with this all the time in terms of private businesses, private buildings, and what can actually work well that's not too intrusive. The balance also ends up being, again, the quality of it. Do you spend a lot of money and get really nice cameras, or can you get somewhere in between? There are some that are designed to be able to see at night, and not necessarily just the thermal ones that you're speaking about where it's kind of a blob, but they're actually pretty good. I mean, even if you play around with your cell phones now, you can do night mode on things and get a pretty good photo without having the light or flash shine. So I think there's just like a lot of changes that have come to fruition in lighting and in security systems. And so, again, all of these questions, you know, we ask our partners in law enforcement, because at the end of the day, we want to have something that they could actually use as part of an investigation. Right. So, yeah.
Precisely. And my second question, going back, because I was concerned about the discrepancy about membership being needed for reserve time between what you've told us, even tonight, and the city council and what we heard from Kelsey. Can we count on your representation as being the one that we will be able to accurately communicate to the community? And secondly, just going back to, because I loved your explanation to my questions, back to reserving during reserve time, there's no cost associated with that.
Commissioner Williams, members of the commission, the commitment from the commission as well as the word spoken to the council was that you did not have to be a member in order to take a reservation. So if we, the City of Goleta and the Goleta Valley Community Center organization do not agree on that, then we would likely terminate our relationship. That is something as that was a requirement of changing the courts. So we would have to stick to that. We are fine-tuning our MOU with the organization. We are like super-duper close to signing on the dotted line. And so I made a note to go back and make sure that that language is in there. And then I'm sure Mr. Wilcox and I will have a conversation later this week. And again, we have, he's on the Pickleball Advisory Committee. And I also work with the board president. So there's a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. So it could just be transposed information. So we'll make sure it's clear so everyone's on the same page. But it was very much so a factor when we converted the courts. Mm-hmm. And that there were other benefits for the membership that people were signing up for that were not just reserving that time.
Thank you.
We've had a wonderful discussion. Are there more comments from the commissioners? More questions? Okay. Mr. Mendoza, are there any members of the public who would like to comment?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. And there are currently no hands raised.
Okay. And any additional commissioners who would like to comment? No? Okay, we're wonderful. So now is a time for commissioners to make a comment or share information that we want to share with the public. Do know that staff cannot respond to the content on questions because the items are not agendized. So if there are any commissioners who would like to share anything with the public, now would be the time. Looks like we have Commissioner Williams. Could you go begin, please?
Thank you so much. I actually have five items, but I think they're quick. And I think necessarily we should all begin by thanking, first of all, congratulating Mr. Valdez for his new wonderful appointment as the assistant city manager. Quick applause is in order. And much deserved, and the city will benefit greatly from your skill and commitment associated with this wonderful place we live in. And so pleased that you'll be staying with us until there is replacement for the position of Director of Neighborhood Services. So, but in the same vein as congratulating you, just want to express my gratitude and encourage other commissioners to express their gratitude for your service to this commission, to Neighborhood Services. I think I will speak for myself, but I think perhaps for the commission, feeling that we had such a dedicated and knowledgeable friend in that position with respect to Goleta's Park and Recreation and to the value of this commission and the value of public process and the value of these tremendous assets to the community. So I'm happy for the city for the promotion. I am hopeful that anyone who takes your place can be as wonderful as you've been. But thank you so much for your time, effort, skills, and dedication to Neighborhood Services, as well as to Parks and Rec and this commission.
Thank you so much. That's very kind. I would actually like to reverse it, right? The commission plays a unique and important role, and you do it because you care, not for the whopping stipend that you get for each of these meetings. So I think applauding public service, especially this type of work on your behalf, is we don't do it enough. And obviously, thank you for the kind words. Obviously, I'm more than happy to share those with Joanne and others. But my new role, I still will oversee Neighborhood Services. So I won't be too much of a stranger. You'll still see me, and I'll sure be talking to Joanne quite a bit. But I actually want to say thank you to all of you, and obviously Joanne and Lionel and Kelsey, because they do all the work. I just sit up here and, you know, look fancy with my tie. But at the end of the day, I like to think I look fancy.
You do. You look very fancy.
My 3-year-old calls my tie a scarf. She says, I always have a nice scarf. Yes. But anyways, thank you. That's very kind of you. And again, thank you for all of your service.
Thank you, Commissioner Jenkins. 4 other quick ones. That was longer. I just want to thank the Goleta Community Center. I want to thank Lionel. I want to thank Joanne for a really successful ribbon cutting ceremony for the Goleta Community Center. And I know Vice Chair Furia was there. I was there. I don't know how it could have been any better. I know Lionel was telling me, Mr. Mendoza was telling me beforehand, we want this to be perfect, and I think it was. And but we know how much work that takes, yeah. And it was a hugely successful ribbon cutting and celebration for the city with a tremendous number of people that showed up for it. And then having the senior fair going on at the same time, which was huge and well attended. Anyway, congratulations and thank you for such a wonderful event. Next item I did read this. We all said we were going to the City of Goleta Boards and Commission handbook. It is excellent. And so I just want to say to everyone involved in putting that together, you know, we've talked about needing this for the longest time. And just want to commend everyone involved in this and that it is worth the reading. And among other things, I just thought it had a wonderful summary of, you know, the rules under which the Rosenberg Rules of Order, just a lovely summary of that. But very, very clear. And thank you, because it is something, as Commissioner Jenkins and Commissioner Walton and others who have been on this for a while have said, please, 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 we need something like this. It is great. On the off chance, let's hope this isn't the case, but if this is Commissioner Hughes' last meeting, because it's a little unclear whether she'll be able to join us in July, I just want to say what a pleasure it's been sitting next to Commissioner Hugh and to thank her for her wonderful contributions. You've been a fabulous student member of the commission. I did hear where Commissioner Hugh is going to go to college.
What?
I'll let her tell the commission that, because it's pretty darned exciting. But really, you have been a wonderful student representative, and we thank you for your work. Do you want to break in before my 5th quick comment? And say where you're going. Pretty exciting.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your kind words, and also thank you to this whole commission and to all of you guys for just being so welcoming. And it's been a great experience being a part of this commission and learning more about the city and everything that's going on. I will be attending New York University on their Shanghai campus. So I'll be a little far away from here, but but I've loved being on this commission, and I just want to thank all of you for making it such a great experience.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shanghai, NYU Shanghai campus, pretty darn cool. Oh, my last comment is I didn't want to pull the director reports from the consent agenda, but just to thank both Ms. Plummer and George for wonderful reports, you know, just emphasizing the tremendous things that are going on, and so excited to see everything going on with Elwood. I don't know if any of the commissioners have been in any of the Elwood Mesa events lately, but just the progress that is being made there, including the upcoming hearing, and I was going to see if Mr. Thompson said they needed additional comments in front of the commission coming up. But just congratulations and thank you. And and for Ms. Plummer's updates on community garden and a splash pad, and looking forward to those ribbon cuttings very soon, as I'm sure Ms. Plummer is more than anyone among us. Just thank you for all of your wonderful work. And as always, Mr. Mendoza, thank you for everything you do to keep us on the straight and narrow. We're so fortunate to have the staff that we have.
Thank you. Commissioner Jenkins?
I would like to have agendized in a future meeting about the status of the community gardens, just so we're all updated as to what's going on and how many plots have been reserved, and any feedback that users have that may take our consideration.
Chair Walton, are you okay if I respond to that? Okay, so I'm not supposed to respond to anything, but I wanted to share with you that there is a strong likeliness that we'll be having our ribbon cutting before the next commission meeting. And if that happens, then all of that information would be available at the ribbon cutting. And we do have all 50 plots reserved. So as far as feedback, the gardeners haven't been able to get in there yet. So we'll probably bring a status report in 6 to 12 months back to the commission to let you know how things are going.
Anyone else? Okay, I have a few things to add here. I'll make it brief. Today, I was at City College, and there was a sign unveiling for the Chumash sign. Some local elders of the Chumash community and local artists had put together a series of signs, beautifully done, beautiful artwork. It was very impressive, and I'm just going to pass that information on to our staff here, because I know we would love to see and know more about the Chumash people and, you know, the land that we occupy here at the city of Goleta. So I'll pass that email on to you. On May 16, 2024, the Santa Barbara South Coast Chamber of Commerce will hold the Meet Me in Old Town event from 5 to 7 p.m. This event is a block party on Magnolia Avenue, sponsored by the City of Goleta. Armitos Park is very close to opening. Please stay tuned, as more information will be released soon. We would like to remind the public of the celebration of Parks and Recreation Month in July. Please stay tuned for a calendar of events and different ways you can celebrate throughout the month. And a reminder of the Parks and Recreation meeting taking place on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 6 p.m. Thank you so much, and with that, we're adjourned.